Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 23rd of December. I'm your host, Paul White. Today we will finish the 14th verse of 2 Peter chapter 2, and it is a sentence beginning in the middle of the verse. Talked about that and how it bothers me yesterday on the podcast. They split verses in 13 and 14. So when we talk about the they of 14, it's like coming out of nowhere, right in the middle of the verse. I'm actually going to start in the middle and then just finish the sentence. But please understand that they is referring to these natural brute beasts of verse 12, which is a metaphor for false teachers, and that stretches all the way back to the top of the chapter. Peter really spends quite a considerable amount of time in relation to the size of the letter talking about these false teachers. And let's not make what I think would be a very easy mistake to make and assume that every description that he gives about these false teachers are universal descriptions about all false teachers, because I don't necessarily think that it is. Let me give you an example as we go. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. That phrase, trained in covetous practices, is better translated as the word greed, really. They're trained in greed, and it's yet another metaphor. And the metaphor is an athletic one this time, to athletically train. And to train in greed would be those who have as at least part of their purpose. And please hear how I phrased that. I didn't say they have this as their entire purpose, but they have as at least part of their purpose the intent of making disciples so that they can profit financially from people. Now, the reason I said that it's easy to make the mistake that Peter's description of these characteristics of false teachers are characteristics of all false teachers is we don't want to do that, because that would mean that all false teachers have exactly the same characteristics, and I don't really think that's the case. I don't think that everyone is functioning from greed. I don't think that all of their eyes are the eyes full of an adulterous woman from the early part of verse 14. I don't think that that every false teacher is blaspheming the glorious ones from verse 10. It's quite possible that in the era and the area in which Peter's writing, this is a very specific false teacher. Peter maybe just doesn't put a name on him or her. And we hardly ever consider that, do we? That it could have been a her. So maybe rather than thinking of it in terms of this is what every false teacher has in common, think of it in terms that you may see some of these in people, and watch out, because they could be there's an element to what they're doing that is less true and a little more false. And the people that fall to this, or that are ensnared by this, or to use a better word, enticed by it, and that's the word used in the middle of 14, they have their eyes full of adultery, they can't cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. You could use the word unsteady. They entice unsteady souls. So the people that are enticed by it, entranced by it, taken in by it, they are a contrast for Peter. And this is something that I love about what we get to do on the DDP. So we get to take our time and remind people of context that is easy to miss when we're just flying past things. Remember this from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. There's a foundational statement. You have a firm foundation in the faith. Peter, and remember, that first chapter of 2 Peter is talking about the precious promises that we have, that we've been partakers of the divine nature, that we've escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, that we have all of these virtues in our lives, but if we lack them, it's because we have forgotten that we've been cleansed from our old sins. And so when you put all of that together, and then in verse 12, that's the foundation on which Peter's audience is established. Contrast that now with someone from verse 14 of chapter 2 who is an unstable soul. So in Peter's definition, a stable soul is someone who knows they have a precious promise, they're partaking of the divine nature, they are not barren or unfruitful in their knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have not forgotten that they've been cleansed from their old sins. If you don't have those things going on, there's a good chance then that you are unstable. And Peter's warning is if you're unstable, you're basically non-established. You lack a firm foundation in the faith, and you're probably going to be easy prey to the enticement of a false teacher. And they're going to put a lot of stuff on this so-called spiritual smorgasbord, and they're going to offer it up to you. And so many people are going to grab at that. So how can I avoid that then? Let's stop making this too heady and theological and start making it very practical. Well, maybe we should go back to the foundations of 2 Peter 1, and we should realize that we have great precious promises, and we should realize that we've escaped the corruption of the world through lust, and we have a divine nature, and we're not barren or unfruitful because we know Jesus, and we have not forgotten that we're cleansed from our old sins. And if we've forgotten that, we need to be reminded of it, because if we're not reminded of it, somebody's going to give us a reason to go to war against our old sins, and we're going to end up in performance and end up in works and end up, well, perhaps enticed because we are unsteady souls. So back to 14, right where we started. They have a heart trained, that's that trained in greed, in covetous practices, and are accursed or cursed children. There's an indication there of an exclamation. I know there's that stuff doesn't exist in the Greek, but I like some translations actually put an exclamation point at the end of that verse. They have a heart trained in greed, accursed children. And if you want an idea about what the New Testament might consider accursed, well, then you could start with Paul's statement of Galatians 1, where Paul talks about those who are mixing the message of performance with the message of grace, let them be accursed, and then he describes that curse as being under the law. I think it could be the same kind of people Paul talks about in Ephesians 2:3. People who once conducted themselves in the lusts of their flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh in their mind, and they were by nature children of wrath just as the others. And so we're dealing with, in some ways, Peter and Paul dealing with the same kind, type, or quality of person. That brings us to the end of a sentence. Way to go, translators. You ended the verse with the end of a sentence. The end of a sentence and the start of a new one in verse 15. Now, 15 drags through 16, and then a sort of a summarizing of this in verse 17, and then we sort of move into some of the actual deceptions of these teachers, not just the depravity of these teachers. So before I do that, I want to take a couple of days, starting tomorrow, which is Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day after that, and deal with a little more traditional Christmas ideas, and we're going to sort of use the hour-long message that is posting to all of our podcasts, YouTube, and all the other places that's posting today called Jesus is Our Covenant. So if you haven't watched or listened to Jesus is Our Covenant, please do so. Then you're ready for tomorrow and Christmas podcasts as we're going to just advance through that Luke 2 story. All right, we'll see you then. God bless.